Father, we thank you for another time in your presence this morning. As your children gather here, Lord, we pray, Lord Almighty, that you will come amidst us, Lord, because your word already told us that where two or three are gathered, that you will be amidst them. We welcome you amidst us this morning. And we pray, Lord Almighty, that our discussion, our fellowship this morning will be to your glory and your glory alone. Prepare the hearts of your children to receive, Lord Almighty. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's see. Out of curiosity, do we all know why we have Thanksgiving celebrated in America? Me, I don't know, that's what I'm asking. Is it based on scripture or just... Does anybody know?
History.
Ah, so it's tied to scripture or not at all? Not at all.
So pretty much when they started off, it was to be thankful for them being able to have a good harvest for that year, and also surviving the plagues and the diseases that was around.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's not the way scripture. Okay. Because I was wondering, I didn't know the link between turkey, Thanksgiving, and shopping. All right. I was always confused. But thank you, Sister Akike, for that. One of the things that I've made up my mind to be doing going forward is that I will not assume anything anymore. I've done a lot of assumptions in the past where I assume that the other person I'm talking to or that's my friend knows what I'm thinking, right? And I've learned to regret a lot of that, thinking that they know it, you know. So, or even at work, thinking that the other person knows what I'm thinking because it seems obvious. So I've learned that going forward now, make sure that whatever comes to my mind, I will share it with people as much as possible. And I think I've done that like two or three times now. And even the apostles, they write to the believers saying things like, I know you know these things, but I want to refresh your memory. I know you know about all of these things, but I want to remind you. You know why? It's because as human beings, there's a tendency for us to forget things, or based on our current circumstances, to overlook some things that we know. Or pressures of life, we forget things. So personally, I've made up my mind that anything that comes to mind that I think I ought to talk about, I will talk about it, whether you like it or not. Okay? So I personally, I've been reading Old Testament. This is understanding well. One thing about Old Testament is that, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I think we need to pray more. I think it's getting better. Okay. So one thing about Old Testament is that it's always a good way to see how people like you and I lived, right? The Old Testament tells us about what people were thinking, what they did, how God responded. You know, it's always good. Unlike New Testament, where most of the disciples work with the Lord, so we tend to say, yeah, you were with the Lord now, so, you know, what do you expect, right? But this one's like real people like you and I, right? That will fall and will rise, you know, that will lie and the Lord will forgive them, that will do things that doesn't make sense, but the Lord will still be gracious to them. Right? A good example is David. Most of us will never think about doing what David did. Killing somebody, committing adultery, you know? Most of us will never think about doing it. But guess what? He was described in the Bible as what? The man after. Isn't that encouraging? I know most of you are so spiritual that even from your mother's womb, you were born again. You never committed any sin. You were so perfect. But for some of us that were not perfect, it's always encouraging when you see somebody that the Lord described that way and looking at their history that, they did all these bad things as well. Right? It's kind of encouraging, right? That, This God is so gracious. Ah, thank God. I thought because I'm not a pastor, maybe I won't get water. Thank God for that. So look at even Jonah. Jonah was sent on a mission. What did he do? He thought he was smart enough. He decided to... He ran away, right? He had a reason for running away, right? He said, if I even tell him, the Lord may not do this or do that. So even those of you that, or those of us that have been disobedient, we have a story of somebody that was disobedient as well. And guess what? The Lord pulled him back, right? And eventually did it, right? Isn't that encouraging that you see people that fell? People that were fearful. Elijah, was it Elijah? That just killed several prophets of Baal and was running for Mia Jezebel. So it's okay to be afraid. Tisha, it's okay to be afraid. Okay? But guess what? The scripture encourages us that even though at that moment he was afraid, he was still useful in the Lord's hand. Because we are humans, things will happen. Okay? So let's open up our Bible to the book of Psalms. So it's amazing how today is going to be book of Psalms. So Psalms, Psalm 103. And I don't know I was trying to kind of visualize what David was thinking. Maybe he woke up in the morning, 5 o'clock, and started to write this. Or he was doing his own Thanksgiving Thursday morning, writing this down. Or it was in the night, he was about to sleep and decided to pen this Psalms. But whatever it is, he was there by himself, I assume. Thank you, Brother Peter. So he penned this Psalms. And I want us to look at it, right? Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So this is a man. Another version says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. This is somebody that is prodding himself to praise the Lord. He will have said, praise the Lord, David, and all that is within me. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. It's, from what I learned from this is the fact that we need to remind ourselves to praise the Lord. Is it natural to praise the Lord all the time? Yes? Natural, all the time. Even in the midst of turmoil. Naturally speaking, but I can't say naturally speaking, he always praises the Lord. Is that the same for everybody else? Sometimes when you are down, is it easy for you to praise the Lord? It's good if you can praise the Lord all the time. You know, when I grew up, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. When you are able to explain some things, that means you understand it. I have not been able to explain the difference between body, spirit, and soul. I know the body part, I know the spirit part, but the soul and the spirit part, I've not been able to explain it to myself. Does anybody know the difference? Brother Peter, soul is... No, seriously, I don't know if anybody knows. We can't hear you. That's the soul. Do we all agree with Brother Peter? Sister Lola said no. Okay, that's why you're saying that you can travel. Okay. So soul is our mind, our innermost being. Okay. Then the spirit is. Spirit. Okay. Okay. So in hellfire, is it the spirit that will be there or the soul? For those that. The spirit will be there. Can you get the mic? Brother Peter, can you? Which question? The. Okay.
When I went to the dictionary, it took me back, the soul refers to the spirit.
Don't worry, continue using it. It's going to bump up the volume, yeah.
Praise God. Okay. So, I said when I was checking for the difference between the soul and the spirit, I checked the dictionary. And the dictionary referred me back to the soul is also the spirit. Okay. But the Bible trying to make a distinction between the soul and the spirit. And I looked at it that when God created man in his image, he breathed on him. That is the spirit. And when the flesh or the spirit entered into the flesh, it became a living soul. That is why you don't say a dead soul. You say a living soul. So the soul, as my sister has said, is the mind. The mind is also the spirit. It is very difficult to really differentiate between the soul and the spirit. Hence, to me, I say they are one. Because whatever the living soul does on earth, the spirit being will pay for it. So, I don't see much difference. Praise God.
Thank you. So, if I tell you that I now know it clearly, now I'm lying to you. I'm still as confused as I was. But anyway, the good thing is that we know that the body, we know that one is clearer. Then the spirit and the soul is one that we are, which is good. I'm okay with my little knowledge for now. But I think it makes sense, though, the way you guys are explaining it, which is fine. But to this passage, David is saying that, oh, my soul, whatever that means, I assume it is mind, is being, you know. Is prodding his soul or spirit, if they're the same, to praise the Lord. Right? What does blessing mean? Bless the Lord. I'm sure, I assume we all don't think blessing God is giving him, well, I don't know how we can bless him, but he blesses us, right? But in this context, is giving back adoration, honor, to whom honor is due. Right? When somebody has shown himself to be awesome, to be mighty, you reciprocate, right? And you bless. Or you praise, as another version says. This one says praise. You praise him because he has swept you off your feet, so to speak. This is a man saying to himself, or to his soul, Peter, bless the Lord. Tom, bless the Lord. Right? Fumilayo, bless the Lord. Adrian Salah, prod yourself. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. So it's possible to bless the Lord with a part of you. Right? Or why would the Bible say with all that is within you? I can bless the Lord with my lips, but not with my, like we said, our mind, our being, you know. I can bless the Lord by raising up my hands here and saying, bless the Lord, but there's wickedness within. Right? If you are blessing the Lord with all of who you are, it's going to affect every aspect of your life. You can't bless the Lord with your mouth and your pocket. Your wallet is padlocked. Right? Auntie Shadi, are we together? Brother Ken, are we together? Brother Briga. Sister Delora. Everybody's looking at me that how did you know his name? So he says, the Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. My entirety, my entire existence, so to speak, should bless the Lord. And he says, forget not his benefits. You know, as human beings, there's a tendency for us, because of the latest obstacle in front of us, we forget all of the benefits that we've enjoyed. Let me give you my own example now. So, when I remember this thing that happened to me, it always kind of helps me get to this day where I remember all the benefits and kind of, oh, there's hope for whatever situation I'm, you know, whatever challenge I have. So when I came here in a while back, fresh from God's own country, I went to school. I graduated from school. And after graduation, they will give you 1 year. They call it OPT, Optional Practical Training. Just 1 year to work. Then hopefully, within that 1 year, you get somebody to sponsor you. So I graduated in, I think, October. November, nothing. Okay, 1 month is okay. Is it October? When did I graduate, Shadi? And it was few months, and within those few months, I already started thinking that, okay, should I go for my PhD in computer science? I'm like, I'm not a book person. Why would I want to go for a PhD? It's not as if I like book that much. I thought about that. I was thinking again about going to Nigeria. That let me just go back. Nobody chased me from Lagos anyway. So I didn't share it initially with, you know, some of the people here. I was just thinking in my mind, maybe I should just go back. Just like, there's nothing wrong in Nigeria anyway. Mm-hmm. So I already started thinking that maybe I should just go back. Maybe God just wants me to come here and do my program and go back. Because when 2-3 months, there's nothing. Anyway, out of the blues, I got a call from a friend saying that, oh, there's this place, interview, blah, 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 blah. I don't think I've shared this in the church before, but maybe probably in Bible study, but I will share it today. So the friend called me that I should go for the interview. I went there. You know some interviews you go for and you know that you bamboozle them. You will know that they must call you back. But most of the ones that I did then that I thought I bamboozled them, no, none of them call back, right? So this one, I did the interview and I didn't bamboozle anything. The interview bamboozled me. Now, for those smiling like that, it's not that I didn't know the question. It's just that the tool they gave me to use it wasn't the kind of tool I was used to. You get what I mean? Toby, you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. So anyway, the guy that interviewed me apologized that the two blah, 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 took me to the CEO, blah, blah. Anyway, they gave me the job, right? That's not the testimony I want to share. So they gave me the job, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. The 1 year will will be over soon, right? And before that time, I need to get someone to sponsor me. And the way my work permit was structured, like, if let's say it ends in July, the next opening for the next batch of work permit that people can file, there's a gap of like a month or two. So there's no way for me to actually get a company to file for me because I will be out of status for like 2 months, even if that company will file for me, the one I work with. So that was another problem. And people started advising me, great advices, about different ways I can do things that, and I love you smiling, about different things I can do out of genuine concern for me, really, you know. Anyway, I was just there. So my favorite president in America, President Bush, whether you guys like him or not, he signed a law then, just maybe a month before my paper expired, that anyone that comes here for a graduate program, they will give them additional, maybe 10,000 visas. So he signed that law. So I was able to ride through that to get my work permit. Now, I think the Lord may have used that to teach me a lesson, because there's something that you can think in your head that you can plan yourself. That one, there's nothing I can do to plan it. Right? Could I have called Bush and say, President? You get what I mean? So there's something that just happened. Now, it's not only me, obviously, right? But the fact that something was about to go out of status and it came in at the right time tells me something about the God we serve. So what does that do for me when I have a big hurdle in front of me to scale or to climb over, right? When I remember that, what does it do? Forget not. That was a personal one for me. Some of you may be thinking, that's his own. My own case is different. There is nothing too difficult for the Lord to do. About a few weeks back, I think we shared on King Asa that the Lord helped to defeat some of the terrorists around his country then. And after a while, he went to seek help from another country, and the Lord was not happy with him. Right? I don't know how I got to this story, but forget not all his benefits. So David started reminding himself about some of the benefits. That song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. If your blessings see what God has done, count your blessings, and which will surprise you what the Lord has done. I dare you all to get home today and start listing what the things the Lord has done for you. You'll be amazed, because we have such a, I don't know what's wrong with our memory. We forget all the battles that has been won. We focus on the small one in front of us. We all do it. I guess that's why this man is saying, let me remind myself. Don't just eat turkey alone. Turkey is good. But he says, let's remind ourselves about the benefits. Auntie Tom, are we together? Christmas is around the corner. Forget not all his benefits. While we are doing having our Thanksgiving, one thing we always do in our house is that we ask everybody to mention the things that they are grateful to the Lord for. And you'll be amazed at how even little children, how they give thanks to the Lord, how they acknowledge the Lord's goodness. This last, is it Thursday? When we're doing our house, when I was going around, you see 7-year-old, 8-year-olds talking about how the Lord blessed, and I'm just like, wow. So let's not forget his benefits. I told you I won't take much of your time. So So let's, Brother Peter, let's go through some of these benefits that David. Verse 3. Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases? If the Lord were to show some of our sins on this projector, are you people you sin? If the Lord were to just project a little bit of all the things we've all committed in the past, I assume everybody is now, and show them just page one only. I'm sure we won't be proud of everything there. But guess what? It says he forgives all your sins. All. The ones, you know, there are some sins that people know about. There are the ones that nobody knows, right? It's only you and God. Even those ones, everything, white, clean. Children, does that make sense? You see all these things that you do that mommy did not know. You know those things? You all know. You all know, right? Where's Amala? You know those things. Wrong, okay? You know those things, right? Or you don't? Yes. Where's my sister? Okay. So all those, so this man is so, he's so grateful for the fact that the Lord did what? All of his sins. Everything, completely. Verse 4 says, who redeems your life from the pit? Just visualize what a pit is. Something under. In a wretched state. In a pitiful state. It says he redeemed your life from the pit. From a state of destruction, pity, neglect, whatever adjective you want to use for that. It says he redeems. Again, if we all bother to think back of some of our past, or so to speak, or things that we have done, or we did out of ignorance, and you think about how God took you from that state and crowned you with love and what? Compassion. Won't you bless his name? Maybe these people, you are too holy. Maybe you didn't have any of those, this experience of life in the pit and all of those. Verse 5. It satisfies your desires with good things. You have a desire and you go to him and he gives you. Does he have to give you anything? Some of us, it's a son we want. You have maybe two girls, you want a son, or three girls, you want a son. That's our desire. And the God of mercy just says, okay, I'll just give you your son. You want a son, I'll give you. He grants us our desires. Or you have three boys, you just want this girl, princess. That's your desire. And the Lord just decides, okay, don't worry, I'll just grant it unto you. This one is verse 9. Oh, sorry, verse 8. It says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. If the Lord were to treat us the way Ananias and Sapphira got their verdict right away, Maybe this place will be empty. Because what those people did, I don't think we'll call it out as something bad in this generation, right? It's their money. They just decided to withhold some for the school fees or whatever reason, right? For a valid reason. Maybe they have a car note now. And they just decided to take part of it. Is there money? Do you think if that kind of judgment were to happen in our generation? No, seriously. They decided on their own to sell their single family house. And out of the proceeds, they decided to take part of it and just didn't declare everything to the apostle. That's what they did. For married people, don't follow your spouse blindly. I'm telling you. If that lady has already, maybe she wouldn't have died. It says the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. We all, if we decide to be truthful to ourselves, we've all done things that if our children had done those things to us, we would have been mad at them, right? And the Lord is slow to anger. I know things that I've done in the past that I'm sure that if the Lord were to kind of deal with me right away, it would be really bad, right? It says he's slow to anger. He won't strike you down right away. When you lie that, like those bold-faced lie, I know we all don't do it here. We all, right? No answer. We all don't do it here, right? Eh? It says the Lord will not harbor his anger forever. Thank God the Lord is not like some of us. Because human beings, they can keep your record of wrongs in an Excel file. They will just list it for you. But it says the Lord does not keep our record of wrongs. Isn't that good? Sister Kemi, just imagine. He doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. Some of us, if the Lord were to list all of the things we've done wrong in an Excel file, you know when the system says out of memory? Because the file is so large. We are going through this together for a reason. I may be laughing, I may be smiling. I want us to put ourselves in the mind of David, right? Because all of this thing is meant to encourage us. Verse 10, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Let me read that again. I want us to go through that individually, kind of think through this. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Same God, knowing all the evil things you've all done in the past, hopefully not anymore. He says he does not treat us as we ought to be treated. You know the Old Testament is an eye for an eye, right? You do this to somebody and, you know, they repay you back with the same thing. If the Lord were to treat us that way, that you've done this X, I'm going to deal with you with X again, most of us will not be standing today. Right? As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on who? Is he for everybody? For those who fear him, he has compassion. Who are the people that fear the Lord? Those that do his bidding, basically. says he has compassion over those who fear him. When David did his own big sin, so to speak, if you notice, his response to that prophet, there's some element of fear there. I have sinned. He wasn't trying to rationalize his sin, unlike some other brother in the scriptures. That's the heart of somebody that fears the Lord. It doesn't mean you won't stumble. It just means when you stumble, you acknowledge and you pick the pieces from there. Going back to him. So, as a church this morning, the question is, what are the benefits from working with the Lord that we've experienced? I'm sure we all have a lot. Maybe it's like, yeah, we start.
Unless there's no,
no problem. If the Lord has not blessed you, it's all right, I'll go.
The Lord has blessed me and, you know, blessed all of us in this place. When you were reading Psalm 103, and there's one part that says and my mind went back to that. Let me see where it is again. It talks about who forgives all our iniquities and who heals all our diseases. My mind went back to a time when I was ill and I almost died, even though a lot of people may not have known. My mind went back to that, and I thought of the fact that how good and gracious God is for keeping me alive even to today. And not only that, there's so many things. I don't know how many things I can say today. He's protected me, my family, the brethren. When we look back at all the things that we have seen, even within the congregation, what he has done for us. So many times we have cried unto the Lord for help, and he has come forth for us in ways that we've never imagined. You know, immigration, sickness, protection, helped us in different things, accidents, you know, people passing the exams, looking unto God for a situation. I remember my situation at work for so long. My managers and, you know, my subordinates didn't treat me right or something, and how it was a big burden. And I saw how God had seen me through that as well. And it's amazing the way God did it. I didn't have any hand in it at all, like Brother Kunle was talking about, and the way everything happened, I attest to the fact that God indeed, he's good. There's so many things he's done for us in the congregation. So there's so many things that we have really gained from the Lord, and we have every reason to give cause of thanks. Even the peace of mind we get, the understanding, a sound mind, there's so many things we can give God the glory for. The peace that surpasses all understanding that guides our hearts. When we're in need of wisdom, he grants us the wisdom. When we're in a tight knot, he comes through for us in ways that we can never imagine at all. And we've all seen this, you know, we've all seen this. And the Lord is faithful, and he will continue to be, you know, faithful and true. Amen.
Any other person that the Lord has been good to? For those the Lord hasn't been good to, you can put your hands down. That's okay.
It's been good to everybody. So I'll just...
Well, I'll go back to when I was really young. There was a time we went to the beach, and there was this huge wave that nobody saw coming. And before we knew what was going on, it was dragging me in. I didn't even know. I think I blanked out. But one of my neighbors was there, and she grabbed my feet just at the right time. And that has never left me, that I could have just drowned. I wasn't even aware, so I wouldn't have even known. If I was conscious, it would have been a different case. Maybe I would have struggled or swam. But I didn't even know what was going on. And God saved me.
So you mean you didn't plan that saving thing? It was God, you see?
Praise the Lord. I remember, there are so many, well, I will reflect on this one, that would have died in around 88 or 89. I was involved in a auto accident going from Ibadan to Kaduna. And it was a station wagon, 504 station wagon that was carrying overload. It had 3 passengers in the front, 4 in the middle, 3 in the rear, and our luggage, you know, in the trunk. The accident was so bad, we were almost getting to Jebba when the accident, that's where, you know, if people know that area, going to Ilorin, there are a lot of trailers at some point parked on both sides of the road. This car, the 504 station wagon's brake failed. It needed to slow down for a trailer that was taking off in the front, that was very far away, and it was coming at full speed. And there was one coming on the opposite side. There were trailers parked on the other side. And we were dozing off. I was dozing off in the car, and I just opened up my eyes, and I saw that there were just trailers all over the place, and this man was at top speed. And the only thing I could shout then was just, Jesus. And I don't know how the Lord did it. It's if as if the car did a 90-degree turn to avoid. He couldn't slow down behind the one he was, you know, he couldn't go behind beside it. He couldn't avoid the one that was coming before in front. There were trailers parked on the other side. It's as if I don't know how the Lord did it. It did that for the car to just stop and do a 90-degree turn to avoid the ones coming, to avoid the one that was parked. And we went over into ditch. The car was totally, completely written off. My luggage, I had to pick up my luggage on the other side of the road. That's how bad it was. And we thank God nobody lost their life in that auto accident, apart from the driver who had a cut on the top of his head. The car was a total write-off. How the Lord did it, I still can't explain it today. But everybody, every soul in that car was saved. That's one of the benefits of having the Lord as our Savior. He saved us that day.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my very soul just shouts, Hallelujah! Praise God for saving me. So I just am so thankful. Two things specifically. You all know what happened to my family a couple of years ago. And I remember that on the 1-year anniversary, I actually woke up with thanksgiving in my spirit. Because if you had asked me within that year or maybe the time before, I would not have thought. My biggest fear was I was going to lose my faith. I really thought, you know, I don't know how I'm going to survive this and still stay a Christian. And I couldn't believe that God was so good to me and he kept me and kept my faith. That's the first thing. And number two, there were times that I worried about my sanity and the sanity of my family. And God was just so good that he kept us, that we could look back and be thankful. And that's a testimony I just had to talk about today.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Well, the Yorubas, they say, Antioba Moinuru Neoni Mopeda. Basically, the meaning is that if you do not have any introspection, you don't have a cause to give thanks. There are over 1,001 ways that God preserves us daily from death. Even if you say you're not, there are people who will say, oh, I'm not standing up from my bed today because there's danger outside. In the bed, the ceiling caved in. The people who have stood up, and right there, a toy, they stepped on the toy and that was it. There are people who have slipped from their stairs and became invalid. So there are so many ways that we're preserved daily. And so in that wise, one just have to constantly give thanks. At least this year, the beginning of this year till now, we have been preserved. Everyone has come here, good health, and so we thank God. That is my testimony.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I don't know where to start or where to end, but I know he's been too faithful. Even in all my unfaithfulnesses, he never came late in any of my situations. Even when all hopes, when I think it's over, when I said nothing can happen, he would just come in. I don't know how to say thank you. There are times I would just sit down. People cry for bad things, but I cry mostly for good things. That is, I would just weep. Water would just come. He's a good God. Being alive is too faithful. My sister here said she was thinking she won't be in Christ anymore. I went through that severally. But from nowhere, I would just start speaking in tongues. I won't be able to pray. I won't be able to say anything. I won't be able to. I would not know what to say, but I would just be speaking in tongues. And from there, I would start singing, and my joy will be restored back. He's a good God. I bless his name.
This is not about me, but it's just something that I just want to use to encourage everyone. So yesterday, I mean, most people know I work in the ICU, and we see people die, you know, at least once a week, I'd see someone die. But I had a patient yesterday, and I had to call my husband when it was all over. So patient was a 54-year-old, and apparently it was recently diagnosed with lung cancer, and apparently he had spread. So he came because of complications from the cancer. He had clots. Anyway, long story short, a patient died, and by his bedside was his mom, who I'm guessing, I mean, patient is 54. She looks old. I'm guessing maybe her 70s, 80s. But what beats me was she had 5 children, and this is the 4th one that died yesterday. And I just thought about it. How, at that age, seeing 4 of your 5 children die, I just feel like it's a lot. And I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? We just have every reason to be thankful. I called my husband, I'm like, wow, this is a lot. I pray that none of us has to go through that. But sometimes you just have to think, look around you and see things that are going on. And just whatever it is that you may think is not right, or whatever it is that you're looking to God to do, think about the many benefits that He continues to load you with daily. Amen.
And I think sometimes we only reflect on when we have victories. But as Sister Lola shared and Sister Jumoke also shared, it's very important for us to be thankful that we have an anchor in Christ our Redeemer. When we have situations and when we have problems, and some people know nowhere to run to, having a rock and that anchor, I'm so thankful for that. Because sometimes you might wake up and you will think, how is this going to all work out, really? Really, how is it going to work out? There's no way. It doesn't look like it can work out. But then you remember that there is a rock. There is one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who says that when you call on the Lord, see, the righteous runs to Him and they are saved. So no matter what we may be going through here, you might be thinking in your mind, maybe I don't have something specific to really think about. Just remembering that that's God. He says His banner over you and I is love. And He's our rock, He's our strong tower, He's our shield. He says the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. No matter what the issue or the situation is, we have a rock who cannot be broken. No matter what the situation is, we thank God for that rock.
Any other person?
Praise God. Well, sometimes I just think back what God has done for me, especially during my adolescent stage. There was a kind of play we do then. You put your two hands on your chest and somebody will blow you on the chest. I tried it when I was an adolescent. The person gave me a blow 10 on my chest. I said, okay, let me just move a little. I didn't know what really happened. But it was like I opened my eyes. I saw about 5 people around me. They just suddenly withdrew from me. So then the next thing, the whole place was dark. And I was hearing the sound of an alarm. And something was telling me, why don't you just go and check the alarm? But I couldn't move. And after, within a minute, I heard a voice. He said, I know what to do. And I opened my eyes. And I woke up. What am I doing on the floor, on a dirty ground like this? And after some time, I thought of my experience. People around me, we're doing something. What were they doing? And when I gained consciousness in that area, they withdrew with shock so that I would not know what they were doing. And I just told myself, like, what if I had gone? Was I prepared for that journey? Because then I would say, I don't know Christ the way I know Him now. I would have just gone like that. My mother will say, it's a small boy. Yeah, he may make heaven. But I never knew Christ like that. I thank God that He didn't take me. I didn't go away just like that. My life didn't end there. Today, I just thank God I know Him. I really know Christ. And it will be too difficult for me to worship any other God. I will never do it. And I pray that nothing on earth will push me to worship any other God, because I have tasted Christ and Christ forever. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. So we have a lot of testimonies. That's good. So if I like my sisters mentioned, you know, we all tend to give testimony for things that, you know, if we're all going to be truthful, there's some things that we asked for that we didn't get. There are some painful experiences that we've gone through. In all of this, there is reason to thank him for his faithfulness. I remember when I lost a very dear friend, and I was so bitter. I was getting to a place where I was kind of questioning that. I mean, how can a believer go through this? And I read Job. By the time I read the response of God to Job, the only thing I could say then was just thank God. I was thanking God because I know this believer is in heaven, right? What if the person wasn't even a believer in the first place? Right? If you don't want any challenges or anything, everything to be perfect, then maybe you should ask God to take you now. Because in this world, there will be tribulation, there will be problem, there will be things we have to address. Most of us here have something right now that's bothering us. Well, I assume. Unless, again, everybody is so spiritual, nothing bothers you. As we leave this place today, we all get back to the same spot and say, how am I going to deal with this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things? The reason why we have this sermon today is that so that I can encourage also how we deal with those things. Some of them will go away. Some of them we have to climb over. Some of them will push us closer to God. Most of the things that I wanted then that I did not get, when I look back now, I actually say, thank God that you didn't give me actually. But there are some painful experiences we go through. It's not peculiar to us alone. The people in the Bible, they went through the same thing. So our prayer is that when those challenges come, that His grace will be sufficient for us. That in our weaknesses, His strength will be made perfect. Let us read verses 20 and 20 to 22 together and we'll round up. Brother Peter, 20 to 22. I didn't know that you are. All right. Praise the Lord. Together, please. 20, 20. Mm-hmm. You angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord. Do. 22. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Auntie Bola, where is she? My soul. Worship his holy name.
Sing like never before. Oh my soul, worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Oh my soul,
worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh my my soul, worship your holy.
Praise the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing.